the Sunday that falls in the octave of Christmas, that means in the 8 days that follow Christmas between Christmas Day itself and the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God on January 1st, is always celebrated as the Feast of the Holy Family. And so we celebrate that today. And there's something very interesting in the gospel today that is very similar to the events we have about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And that is that these amazing things, for example, that at the birth of Jesus, the birth of God in the flesh, the most amazing thing that had ever happened in the history of the world. And then today, our gospel that has the account of the presentation of the Lord, when this God in the flesh comes into the temple in Jerusalem, where he is worshiped for the first time in the flesh. And there's two very remarkable things about these both very amazing events. And that is that practically nobody noticed. The only people who came that Christmas night to worship Jesus were the shepherds and the angels of heaven. And when God comes into his temple in the flesh for the very first time, you would think this would be a great, tremendous event. And yet, there are only two people who notice it. And those two people are these very old, very holy people, the prophet Simeon and the prophetess Anna. And they recognize who Jesus is. They recognize the importance of this moment, but nobody else does. And it's very interesting, I think, why that's the case, why these events are overlooked. And they're overlooked, frankly, I think, very largely because they are so authentically human. So, in sort of the best sense of the word, ordinary. As a matter of fact, they're marked with human simplicity and weakness and poverty, actually. But great human dignity. It's always been perplexing for some reason that God chooses to use ordinary human events to further his mission of salvation, the history of salvation in the world. And on this Feast of the Holy Family, let us not fall into that same trap of thinking that ordinary family life is not significant, because it is. It's almost the most significant thing there is in the natural order in this world. When I was, I've gone on retreat a number of times, at a retreat house that has a beautiful little shrine to the Holy Family on the grounds. There's a beautiful statue of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph there. And there's a little plaque on the side that says something like, to the heavenly Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, through the earthly Trinity of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. God himself is a loving communion of persons. And God himself put his image into this world most perfectly in the natural order in the family. A loving communion of persons. You know, God created the family. God created marriage and family life. It's a part of creation. It was actually his idea, not ours. And so, it is not surprising that when the Son of God comes into this world in the flesh, he does so in a human family, obedient to his parents, following the law of God, and that through this, the world is transformed. And this is the ordinary way that God still wants to come into the world. It's through the sacrament of holy matrimony and Christian family life. St. Paul says in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, he's talking about marriage between man and woman. And he says, but I speak of a great mystery. The word in Greek that St. Paul uses, mysterion, it's the word for sacrament. It's the only time in the New Testament that the word for sacrament is applied to one of the sacraments. But I speak of the great sacrament, the great reality, the great mystery of the love of Christ for his bride, the church. That the vocation of Christian husbands and wives is to make known the love of God in this world. It's the most important thing we can know is how much God loves us. We really can't do much of anything until we know that. And so we must receive and accept the love and dignity and honor that God gives us as his children. In the sacrament of holy matrimony and in Christian family life, which is supposed to show in this world what God himself is really like, a loving communion of persons. It's what we need more than anything else, and it's what this world needs more than anything else. So first and foremost tonight, on this Feast of the Holy Family, that's why Simeon and Anna were able to receive this. They were looking and longing for the revelation of God in their lives. And so they recognized Jesus when he came. And they were able to receive the joy. You know, Simeon basically says, okay, Lord, you can take me now. Did you hear that? That's what he said. Okay, I'm good to go now, you know. He was so filled with joy. And this other woman who had fasted and prayed for all these years, constantly in prayer and fasting, that longing of her heart is fulfilled. That reality of the love of God is what has drawn you here tonight. The sacrificial love of God. That's what we receive from this altar. The body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, offering himself on the cross in obedience to his Father and for our salvation. That longing is fulfilled for us tonight. Receive the love of God. Those of you who are married, remember the day of your wedding and receive that grace again. And then, we are called then to live that light and love and to show it to the world so that people know the love of God, the love that God has for them. And they see it especially in the love of Christian family life. Today, the 27th of December, if this weren't a Sunday, we'd be celebrating the feast of St. John the Evangelist, one of the apostles, who is actually the only of the apostles who didn't die a martyr's death. And he lived longer than any of the other apostles. He was younger than any of them, for one thing. And so he was the last of the apostles, the last of that living link to Jesus himself. And people would come to him, therefore, you know, and say, okay, what do you have to tell us? You're our last sort of connection to direct connection to Jesus. And holy tradition tells us that as an old man, St. John just repeated this over and over again. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. The early Christians set their world on fire. And do you know what people on the outside looking in at the church, at the early Christians, do you know what they commented on them about more than anything else? They would say, see how they love one another. See how they love one another. First, we have to receive that love as members of the family of God, as His children, as those called, especially in the sacrament of holy matrimony, to be signs of the love of God for His bride, the church, and in Christian family life. But then we are also to live it and to show it to the world. We live in a world that is a pretty lonely, dark place for many, many people, especially right now. How are they going to know the gospel? How are they going to know the good news? I think not so much by our arguments or this sort of thing, but by our witness of love. Everyone wants to be loved, don't they? I think that's universally true. And to see the love of God in this world, to let our lives, especially our family lives, make present here on earth, in that as a loving communion of persons, the love which is in God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a loving communion of persons. Because that is our destiny, to be drawn into that eternal love of God. That's what heaven is. And so let us first be loved. Another word you hear a lot in John's writings, beloved. You can divide that up into beloved. And then let your love shine in this world that is so hungry for it.